where I'm going. But I'm gonna try for the kingdom if I can, 'cause it makes me feel like I'm a man when I put a spike into my vein. And I tell you, things aren't quite the same when I'm rushing on my run, and I feel just like Jesus' son. And I guess that I just don't know, and I guess that I just don't know. Smack begins to flow. I really don't care.
October 14, 1982, in a speech at the Justice Department, Ronald Reagan declared war on drugs and likened his determination to stop the flow of illegal drugs into the United States to the French army fighting the Battle of Verdun during World War I. The president quoted a French soldier who said, "There are no impossible situations. There are only people who think they're impossible." The irony of Reagan's comparison is not lost to history. The Battle of Verdun was one of the longest and bloodiest of the war, and while the French did technically win the battle, it took the lives of nearly 300,000 French and German soldiers and caused more than 1 million military casualties. The collateral damage of the battle, which lasted 302 days, has never been properly quantified. The toll the battle took on the civilian population of both France and Germany was astronomical. The war on drugs has had comparatively similar results. A phrase first popularized by President Richard Nixon as one of his law and order initiatives was resurrected by Reagan and every single one of his predecessors, three Republicans and two Democrats, the third Democrat's use of the term is still pending, waged one of the most futile and misguided campaigns of the last 100 years. The war on drugs has led to the rise of massively powerful cartels in South and Central America, empty rhetoric from global politicians and condescending authorities, the highest per capita incarceration rate in the world, and a steady stream of drugs flowing into the United States as if there was almost no drug policy at all. So, maybe not the most uplifting topic for tonight's show, huh? However, an anniversary like this does give us an opportunity to focus on the middle component of the unholy trinity of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Of course, drugs can be a scourge on society, and addiction is nothing to laugh at, but there is no question that drugs have been one of the great muses of rock and roll. So tonight, we explore that subculture of this music we love. Tonight's music ranges from the sublime to the jarring, from the thought-provoking to the ridiculous, from the confessional to the preachy to the cautionary tales. We are going to explore the seedy underbelly of the world of rock and roll through the eyes of the people who have lived through hell, the people who continue to ride high, and some on the outside looking in, trying to figure out what all of this means. Tonight, the Weekly List wants to talk to you about drugs. My name is Rich Larson. His name is Daniel G. Moyer. This is the Weekly List. Well, good evening, everybody. You're listening to AM 1080, 95.1. Yeah, did I do that right? AM 1080, FM 95.1, KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us once again for another edition of the Weekly List. You know what I've been thinking about all week, Daniel G. Moyer?
You should probably write down the call letters. You only work here, dude. I'm just here visiting and to screw around.
You remember that that episode of Welcome Back, Kotter, where I can't remember if it was Epstein. It must have been Epstein. Maybe it was Washington. One of those guys started smoking weed they did an intervention. All week long, all I've been able to think about is is John Travolta as Vinnie Barbarino wandering around the Sweat Hogs classroom going, "Give me drugs, give me drugs."
That was a great show.
That was a really underrated sitcom.
You know, the other show that I remember from that I was thinking about this week was What's Happening.
Oh, yeah.
Remember they go on the bootleg, Doobie Brothers?
Yeah, the Doobie Brothers,
you know,
right.
Where the name of the band came from. And I just remember, I think it was Rerun, that I think it was Cornelius Bumpus, and he goes, "Which doobie you be?" And for some reason, that just strikes me as really funny. So,
I will speak with any doobie who doobie around.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So,
yes.
Anyhow, the 70s were a wonderful time for some of the, God, and then we haven't even Cheech and Chong, so.
I know. I really, there's so many times when I have wished that I had been a grown-up in the 70s, or like in my 20s in the 70s.
You know, that doesn't surprise me.
No. I mean, especially if you look at all the, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get a couple of things straight. Let's get some ground rules about this show. First of all, the weekly list does not endorse illicit drug use.
Absolutely, we do not.
The weekly list does not judge.
No, there is no shame. This is very, very important that we note,
right.
Mr.
Larson. We are gonna like tread this line, man.
We're gonna be. There is no shame.
Nope.
That we are going to bestow on any person, despite their choices.
Oh, well, now wait a minute. I'm not agreeing to that. All I'm saying
there's
is
a song coming up.
All,
that
all
it's
I'm saying
get
is that if you imbibe in something,
yeah,
I
to each their own.
Knock
right?
yourself out, man. Absolutely.
But you know, be responsible, be safe.
Oh, certainly.
Because I mean, with everything, there is a responsibility
right,
towards
right.
others and being keeping yourself safe and others safe.
And you know, addiction is nothing to mess around with.
No, it
with.
Is not.
So you know, if you do need help, there's you know what? Really, I want you to just sort of vamp for a second.
Okay. Well, you know, and the thing about all of this is, I think that we live in a society where there's so many addictions. There can be food addictions. There's gambling addictions. There's drug addictions. There's a lot of 12-step programs that are out there that are very very, very helpful to many people. So if you feel like you have an issue, make sure that you look those things up. And at the same time, it's possible to be addicted to the concept of addiction too. And it's, you know, you over-rely on these things. Just keep a good, solid head around yourself with this.
Minnesota is home to one of the most respected addiction centers in the country, if not the world, the Hazelden Betty Ford Center.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm just going to put this number out there. 877-793-5205. If you need help, and if you ask for help, you will get it.
And I'll tell you what, if you didn't get that number the first time, we will repeat this number again.
877-793-5205. All right. So that's sort of just housekeeping, right?
Yeah, okay? That's important.
Right. I smoke weed. I do. I mean, I don't do it a lot,
mm-hmm.
But I have enjoyed it when I've done it, and I think it should be legal. I think it's ridiculous that it's not legal across the country. Mm-hmm. And you know, I try to do it incredibly safely. I don't do, it's very much like drinking too much alcohol. It's a very, I only do it in very special, like it's very special circumstances. I got to have like nothing going on the next day or two, and I dig it, and I really enjoy it when I've been able to do it. And, you know, I've got a great, you know what, I'm going to tell this story, right?
Okay.
I did mushrooms one time. I
kind of recall this.
I had a roommate my freshman year at St. Olaf College who was insanely large, not just fat, but just big, mm-hmm. a huge man. He was as big as I am now when we were 18 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did mushrooms once at Como Park Zoo and in St. Paul, and I spent over an hour staring at the polar bear who was sound asleep. It was a hot summer day, right? Polar bear sound asleep on just at the inside of the wall.
Okay.
Right. So like in a big pit. So you look down, like straight down, there's the polar bear. For an hour staring at this polar bear. Could not believe how much this polar bear looked like my freshman roommate.
Oh, good Lord.
And like anyone who would come within a foot or 2 feet of me, like, look at this. It looks just like my roommate.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I don't even know what to do with that.
It's actually one of my favorite drug-induced moments.
Well, that sounds... Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to tell it this break. I marked a spot. I'm going to tell my own experiences.
You don't have any experiences.
I don't have any... Here's the thing. I took a class on addiction as part of my grad school program.
Sure.
And we talked about what addiction really is. Okay. And it's possible to be addicted to anything.
Right, but...
You could be addicted to water. When you were a kid...
I'm probably addicted to sugar, but that's not what we're talking about.
Right. I know that we're talking about drugs here. And yes. That's what I am going to talk about later on.
Okay.
And what we're talking about with addiction is it's really a sense of altered consciousness. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Whether it's drinking, whether it's drugs.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you know, there's a couple of songs on the list tonight that like use drugs as a euphemism for love, mm-hmm. right? And
I know.
That's a little...
But one of the first things that every child has done is I think that as human beings, we all seek out an altered sense of consciousness. One of the first things that every kid, and I mean every kid, has done is play the game, spin, get dizzy, fall down.
Oh, sure.
Because that's altered consciousness too.
And throw up. That's what I would do.
Well, yeah. So it's innate to the human being is this desire for altered consciousness.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It is absolutely. And it's just whether or not you can maintain control, keep some semblance of self over it. And when you can't do that, that's where places like Hazleton are very important. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, trust me, you know this, I'm known to tie a couple on and have a couple drinks.
Yes, you are.
And sometimes I get a little overboard on that.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm an alcoholic. I think that I'm a binger.
I think you need to not allow yourself on Facebook when you drink.
Yes, I think that that's probably the wise point. And there's, I know the reasons why and why not. And I'll go into all of that stuff later on in a later story.
Okay.
But my point is this show, from my perspective, we're doing this on the war on drugs. I'm looking at it as, I think that just because something is illegal, everybody thinks it's immoral. I'm not sure that that's true.
No.
Because a lot of the things that are legal, I also think it can be a problem. I have a friend of mine, and I think that you know him. I'm not sure. But a friend of mine who went out drinking on his 21st birthday and vowed, I'm never drinking again.
Yeah.
And basically labeled himself an alcoholic on one event. And, hey, at the same time, I don't have a problem if you're going to go and tie one on every once in a while.
Right.
And as long as you're cool about it. Or if you decide, I am never, ever going to have another drink, or I'm never going to smoke a cigarette or whatever, that's cool too.
The recognition that you're an addict is something that is... I respect it. I truly believe that I'm a compulsive gambler.
Mm-hmm.
I don't gamble unless I go to Vegas. I go to Las Vegas and I have no control. I've got a really horrible story that I'm not going to tell tonight about being in Vegas and just like not
we'll
having
do it. A Vegas show sometime, maybe or something.
I'm never telling that story ever. But like I have made, you know, and it's that compulsive behavior. Yeah. So you're the friend who I think I do know.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't
doubt that that person is actually an alcoholic. Like,
But
you have the one experience and you think, you know, you have the wherewithal and maybe the self-awareness and the rare ability to say, oh, okay, that's it. Shutting this down.
Yeah.
Most people don't have that.
Right. So I'm very impressed by him. But okay.
Okay.
So anyhow, we've got through those. So Rich, tell us about that first song.
I want to make another point too. I think this came through in my intro, but I want to make sure I'm hammering this point home. We're not really going to talk much about the war on drugs tonight. Mostly because I think the war on drugs is not just misguided, not just ridiculous, actually one of the most immoral policies that the United States has ever put into place. And it has been perpetrated by people I did not vote for and perpetrated by people I did vote for. And just about every president in my lifetime, just about every president in my lifetime is guilty of having made horrible choices when it comes to drug enforcement, including our current president, mm-hmm. for whom I voted enthusiastically. But this is also the guy who pushed through the crime bill in the Clinton era,
yeah.
that has caused,
yeah.
I don't even know what the number is, but there's more black men incarcerated, yeah. today because of that bill than anything else that's ever happened. It has been a horrific, tragic disaster.
And aside from all that, I really simply looked at it as the Richard Pryor principle, which is, I remember as a kid being told I should never, ever, ever, ever listen to Richard Pryor. So what's the first thing that I wanted to do?
You would listen to Richard Pryor. And you know what? He was funny as hell.
He was funny as hell.
Yeah.
So, but, and I still think he's funny.
But I don't know where that comes from. But
well, but that's the don't do this, don't do this, don't. Well, just say
that's
no.
a whole different thing. Yeah, 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 we're going to talk about it. Just say no.
Okay.
Kiss my... Yeah.
So anyhow, anyway, we've droned
first
on
song
a lot.
We heard, first song we heard tonight was from the Velvet Underground and Nico. That was just the Velvet Underground. There's a song called Heroin. It's written by Lou Reed in 1964. I love this story. Lou Reed was, I think he, I don't know for sure, but I think he was working in the Brill Building in 1964 as a songwriter. And he had this job, and he said what they would do is they would lock you in a room and they'd say, okay, write us 10 surfing songs, right? So telling Lou Reed to write 10 surfing songs or you can't go home is, that would not have been an advisable thing to do. So he just sat in that room one day in 1964, wrote Heroin, said, here you go, did this. And
he's giving a gesture that's one finger shy
exactly,
of a peace sign.
Exactly. And walked out, and that was it. But he wrote Heroin.
And this song, I have difficult feelings about Velvet Underground. I go both ways. Sometimes I really like them. I have to be in the right mood for Velvet Underground.
Okay.
And you know that I like Lou Reed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have to say, dude is such a pretentious twit.
He could be. He absolutely could be. And he did not suffer fools at all.
I understand
had
that.
Had no patience. I actually met Lou Reed.
Did you really?
Yeah. We
And you lived?
We went to see him at the Orpheum in 1991 or 92, mm-hmm. the Orpheum Theater in Minneapolis, and this was back when like you could just run around to the back of the building.
Oh yeah, and that backstage, yeah, right, area. That
exactly.
Was classic.
And so we did that, and he came walking out, and his person said, "Okay, if everyone will just line up, Mr. Reed will sign autographs." He was standing on the like the foot of his tour bus.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Reed will sign autographs. And there were only about 8 of us. And it was me and Annie, my wife, and Kirk Brown.
Okay.
Okay, well, okay. Anyway, so, and Kirk had come from New York City to where he was living at the time to go to that show with us. And so the manager was passing out these 8x10 photographs of Lou, right? And Lou was signing it. I still got mine framed in my office. Kirk said, I came from New York to see this. And Lou just kind of looked at him and went, the city? Like, why on earth would you leave New York City to do anything, especially come see me in Minneapolis, right? And like, had
funny.
No time for Kirk at all, right?
That's funny. Yeah.
So, I mean, Lou Reed could be a jerk.
Well, at least none of you guys gave him a copy of the New York album and say, I love this.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Well, it's true, but it's good that you
I
probably
do
didn't
love
do that
album.
Well, yeah, it's a good album.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, I agree with you that Lou could be pretentious and he could be completely impatient and had no time for anything that marred his view of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that was Heroin by Velvet Underground.
Yeah.
Nico is tiresome, by the way.
Sure, yeah, tell that to Jackson Brown, my friend.
Well, I
can. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyhow, the next song that we're going to play is by Rod Stewart.
And this is a really good song.
This is a great song. I love this. It's from the Atlantic Crossing album.
1977.
Yes. Love this song to death. And it's basically the guy's a Scotsman. And there's one thing that Scots are good at.
Drinking.
Drinking. And you and I had an evening in Edinburgh where we drank. We did. And I think we wound up singing Maggie May when it played on the radio or on
probably,
the jukebox.
Probably. And just probably
that was
annoyed
kind of a sideways
every
night too.
Single yeah. person in Scotland that night, too.
So anyhow, this is Rod Stewart with Stone Cold Sober.
I just need to say, he co-wrote this song with Steve Cropper.
Yeah, yeah.
And Steve Cropper has one of the best guitar solos ever. Like, my personal favorite Steve Cropper guitar solo is the solo starts at like halfway through this song and then just doesn't stop.
Right.
I love it.
Steve Cropper.
Of Booker T and the MGs.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're talking yeah. about a lifetime of classic songs that have flown through his fingers.
You're talking about the man who wrote Dock of the Bay.
Soul Man.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned Soul Man that...
He was one of the backbones of Stax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have so much music without him.
Yeah, exactly. So great. And but like, does not necessarily get enough credit for being a great guitar player.
No.
And this is amazing guitar work on
this song.
You
for bringing Steve into this, because it is important. Listen to the guitar solo. This is a stunning rocker from start to finish. Stone Cold Sober by the true Scotsman that he is, Rod Stewart, here on KYMN Radio. 95.
know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. But at least we'll both be beautiful and stay forever young. This I know, this I know. She told me don't worry about it. She told me don't worry no more. We both know we can't go without it. She told me you'll never be in love. Ooh. I can feel my face when I'm with you. But I love it. But I love it. Oh, I can feel my face when I'm with you. She'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary when we're deep in love. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Girl, I know. She told me don't worry about it. She told me don't worry no more. We both know we can't go.
The Weeknd with I Can't Feel My Face from his 2015 album Beauty Behind the Madness. I
love that song. That is probably the best Michael Jackson song to come out in the past 15 years, hands down. That bass line is to die for.
There is no question he is a Michael Jackson disciple, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He had put out a really good album.
Called Thriller in 1983.
No, The Weeknd did, called After Hours.
I see.
Which he got royally snubbed by the Grammys, which
I think is a
crime.
And you know what? I've always thought that was a crime, too, until I saw The Weeknd do the halftime Super Bowl, the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, you didn't move on
that
one.
That was the worst halftime show I
have
ever
good.
Seen.
The album is really good.
Okay,
it's a really
great
album.
That's awesome.
he just dismisses. But that song actually is about getting high on cocaine with somebody else. And it was funny. Nobody really thought that until after he won the Kids' Choice Award for that song. And he came out and said, you know what? It's not every day that you go and you just win a Kids' Choice Award for a song about a bag of blow.
Yeah,
I thought that's pretty funny.
Some of the songs you give me, I have to go talk to my daughters about because I don't understand the music you listen to.
Yeah, well.
And so like I'm listening to the song, I'm talking to my youngest daughter. I'm like, isn't this song just another one of those songs that uses drugs as a euphemism for love? And she's like, no, I'm pretty sure this song is about getting coked out of your mind.
Yeah, that's exactly what this song is about. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But, you know, like a lot of pop music, they kind of code it lightly so that, you know, So yeah, you know. The squares get by it. No disrespect, Rich.
Did you just call me a square? You?
Wait till later on. It's going to get brutal.
Oh, it's going to get... There's a throwdown.
Right
coming.
Now, I'm just kind of nicely poking the bear gently. It's not getting
really
doing.
You poked the bear like 6 days ago,
yeah.
And you don't even know it yet.
No, I don't.
Yeah, so anyway.
So I'm going to take my dues.
So what's next?
Okay, next. Liz Phair put out a fantastic album earlier this year called Soberish.
Yes, she did.
This so far is probably my choice for album of the year, the Soberish album.
It's a great album.
I liked the Taylor Swift one that came out late last year, too, Evermore.
That's great.
Those are both great. I keep going back and forth, but I really, really love Liz Phair. This song is called Dosage.
Yeah.
And I love the story that it tells. She's roughly our age.
Yeah, she is. She's, in fact, I think she's right smack dab in between you and
okay.
me, age-wise.
And she's sitting in a bar, she's ready to release her first album in a very long time of original material. And, of course, somebody recognizes her and... Liz Phair recognizes her past self in this person. And it's a conversation between Liz Phair and this would-be future superstar who's trying to get Liz Phair to, you know, help her out. And I just love this song. So it's got a great melody. It's got Liz Phair's sense of humor.
Yeah.
Throughout
her acerbic wit.
Yes. There's a bits of sarcasm. Also, at the same time, on the same album, there's a song called Hey Lou.
Yeah.
That is, Lou Reed was married to Laurie Anderson.
Yes.
And so this is, Hey Lou is a song that you would imagine that Anderson would be singing to, to Lou Reed. So
anyway.
I think that's kind of a funny connection. So
cute.
Now we've talked about
him too. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I agree with you. Shockingly, that this is maybe the best album of the year so far. This is a really good album. This is from Soberish, Liz Phair's 2021 album. This is called Dosage. 95.1 KYMN.
I used to be just like you, doing a little more than what I thought I could handle. Take a page from this well-worn book. A fun night can lead to sex and scandal. Dosage is everything. It hurts you or it helps. Go take your medicine and call me when you're well. For the drink, but I think you're overserved. I'd rather roll you a joint with weed the bartender sold me. Good things can be too much or not enough. I reach for words, dear Henry told me. Dosage is everything.
Dosage is everything. Dosage. I was alone, I took a ride, I didn't know what I would find there. Another road where maybe I could see another kind of mind there. Ooh, then I suddenly see you. Ooh, did I tell you I need you every single day of my life? You didn't run, you didn't lie, you knew I wanted just to hold you. And had you gone, you knew in time we'd meet again, for I had told you. Ooh, you were meant to be near me. Ooh, and I want you to hear me say we'll be together every day. Hard to get you into my life. What can I do, what can I be? When I'm with you I wanna stay there. If I'm true I'll never leave, and if I do I know the way there. And I suddenly see you. Ooh, did I tell you I need you every single day of my life? Got to get you into my life.
Okay, so here's how this is going to work. I'm really quick going to tell people what that song was. Mm-hmm. You're going to say what you're going to say about it. Then I have what people would call a controversial hot take about that song.
You with a controversial hot take.
I know. Go figure.
I
right?
know. This is yeah. so unlike you.
That was Got to Get You Into My Life by the Beatles, written by Paul McCartney in 1966 from the Revolver album. I had three Beatles songs that I wanted to choose from. And I finally settled on this one because I have this opinion. When I was like 30 when I found out that Paul McCartney had actually written that song about marijuana. And that, and I thought it was, I mean, I can remember being in high school and having my high school girlfriend and like, you yeah. know, singing, it's a sweet love song.
It is.
And then Paul McCartney said it's about Mott. As Mott, it's about pot, marijuana.
And, you know, here's the thing.
It's about weed.
I was one of those people that up until this week thought it was just a love song. Because McCartney, he's a very good songwriter. He's one of the great songwriters about love songs.
No question.
I mean, just without a doubt, anybody who writes something like Yesterday yeah. and... Here, there, and everywhere. I mean, holy cow.
Got to Get You Into My Life yeah. would have been one of my examples, actually.
Yeah. And so Got to Get You Into My Life, I've always thought about this. Oh, it's McCartney. It's a love song. And, you know, I can relate to it and all that kind of stuff. And so it came on your list of six. I'm like, what the hell, Rich? So then I had to, of course, Google it. And then I found scads of yeah. interviews yeah. where McCartney basically said, yeah, that's yeah. what this is about.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about it in context of the Beatles' history, mm-hmm. and they had first discovered pot a little bit before the recording of the Help album in the movie, because they used to go off into their was Bob Dylan.
Yeah,
that
Dylan got into a limousine with him and handed him all a joint. Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was a hotel room. It doesn't matter, but it was Dylan that introduced yeah. him. So all of a sudden, you completely changed. Got to Get You Into My Life for the Beatles. So thank you, and I know that there's a bunch of people listening right now that went, great, thanks, Rich. You just killed one of my favorite Beatles songs for me. It's about drugs.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that song. This is my belief. I don't think Paul McCartney is as avant-garde as he wants people to think he is. I think Paul McCartney on many occasions, has been guilty of telling some tales, and much like myself, leans a lot on conjecture and exaggeration, right? When he says that that song's about pot, I don't believe him. I mean,
so you think he's trying to be cool?
Yeah, I do. I truly do. I think that, like, now, I mean, he wrote the song, so today it can be about whatever he wants it to be about. It's fine. But when he was 27 years old writing that song, or 26, 24, writing that song, I think he was writing a love song. I really do. And he has, like, since made it into a song about weed. But I don't believe him.
Well, there is a certain amount of revisionist history because ever since John Lennon's death, I think that there has been a unfair deification of Lennon and an unfair
villainization?
Of McCartney.
Yeah, I don't buy that
some
either.
Saccharinism, you know, where he's seen as very saccharine.
Yeah. He can be schmaltzy and cheesy.
He certainly can. So, I mean, it gets into a lot of those things. It was interesting. I was having a conversation with somebody, a friend of mine, earlier this week, and they had brought up the question of, all right, everybody views Yoko Ono as the person who broke up the Beatles. And what if John Lennon actually was holding her back and not allowing Yoko Ono to become quite the performance or person artist that she was meant to be? Because you got to look at it. Yoko Ono... her story pales because of the association with the overpowering legacy of John Lennon.
Sure it does.
So did somehow John Lennon, her association with John, did that damage or distract her from her own artistic path?
And the cynic in me wants to say, well, I wish he would have recognized that long ago and broken off that that relationship then so she could go and blossom and be her thing.
Anyhow, I just throw this out just Beatles. To be, we both love the Beatles. The Beatles, the thing about the Beatles, Yoko Ono didn't break up the Beatles. The Beatles broke up because of time. The Beatles just aged. Things end.
Yeah, there was no way that those guys were going to be able to stay together.
Yeah, I mean, there's some relationships that just end.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, so there's that.
Anyhow, that's our take on the Beatles here on Controversial Corner. So
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just,
go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. I've got a lot to say about this
I'm
going to
intro the next song because this is going to be where I really get it directly in the face, and it's going to get bloody for me.
It's going to get real in this room in about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. So anyhow, this was one of my choices. I fully own this. You hear the nervousness in my voice on this? This song is by Neil Diamond. And it's from an album of his called Velvet Gloves and Spit, which I actually like that title.
I'm not surprised.
So anyhow, this song is called the Pot Smokers Song. And the reason I picked it is I just think it's funny.
It is not funny!
Holy cow.
This is not a funny song.
No, it's not.
It's not.
I like his goofy little part.
I have been holding this back for a week.
Okay, let it go. Let it go. Let it go.
You are allowed complete autonomy when you select your songs. I have nothing to say. I have no veto power when you select your songs.
Okay.
Which gives you great power. And with great power comes great responsibility. You have completely... shirked your responsibility with this song.
Wow.
This song is not funny. This song is not cute. This song is half nursery rhyme, half Richard Nixon propaganda. This song is crap. This song demeans the issues of drug abuse across the board by playing the stupid, ridiculous chorus thing that he sings in the song, and then throwing in these god-awful drug stories. Like, you know, I started smoking pot, now I'm doing 8 to 10 in the federal pen. My daddy didn't love me. Shame on you. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I'm like actually ticked off about this.
Yeah,
I cannot believe. I want quality on this show. I want good music on this show. This is none of those things. And it's not funny. It's not a funny song either. folks, we're going to play this song. And if you want to go ahead and just fast forward through it, that's fine, because this is maybe it. Well, without question, it's the worst song that's ever been played on the weekly list, without question. But it's not worthy of being heard.
Wow.
It's terrible. It's a lie. It's ignorant. It's sanctimonious.
Okay.
The words I want to say, I can't say on the radio. And shame on you for putting this song on here.
Okay.
There, I'm done.
I'm duly shamed.
So here's the pot smoker song.
Wait. I am going to say one thing, because I do get a response.
Maybe. Okay. I get to edit.
So anyhow.
Wow, I get to edit that.
I'm not going to disagree with you. You make some very valid points. Also, at the same time, you have given the best rationale and example for why medications are necessary that especially calm.
I have been trying to stay calm.
This is sedative
for a
music.
Week. I have had to listen to this thing.
How many
times
did you listen to it?
A dozen times.
Why did you do that?
Because I kept trying to understand why you wanted it on here.
Okay. All right, so Rich is really irritated.
I'm super irritated.
Okay.
Like, you are besmirching the weekly list by putting this song on the show.
Okay. I will not do that again.
Please don't.
I didn't play Method of Modern Love last week.
I would listen to Method of Modern Love 12 times. Yeah, I mean, when I tell you that you like everything, I mean, that's a joke. This proves it. Like, you don't have any idea what is bad.
No, I have a very good idea.
You don't have any clue. Like, you really do. Like,
okay, play the song, Rich.
The Pot Smoker Song by Neil Diamond.
La, la, la. Pot, give us some pot. Forget what you are, you can be what you're not. High, high, I want to get high. Never give it up if you give it a try.
I started when I was 13, and I had saw some people smoking pot, and I bought myself a nickel bag, and I went behind my building and sat on a bench all by myself, and I smoked that bag, you know, until I finally got high. I started with pot because I was curious, and at that time I was having problems with my family. I remember on one trip, I was at a party, and I got very sick from speed, from meth, and I used to shoot it in my spine. I also used to shoot acid in my spine, and I had too much. I was building a big thing up over a week, and I got sick, and I tried to commit suicide.
La la la, pot, give me some pot. Forget what you are, you can be what you're not. Do, take a family cruise. You with your grass, mom and dad with their booze.
I was so sensitive, you know, like ever my family, there was so much going on in my family, you know, every little thing bothered me. When I started using drugs, like, I just didn't care. Nothing bothered me, nothing hurt, you know, I didn't feel anything. And like, I, you know, I didn't care if I lived or died, so I didn't care if I used, you know, shot dope or if I took an OD or what. I was so unhappy, like, I felt so unworthy, you know. From the time I was growing up, I think, like, I have two older sisters, they're twins, you know. The three of us used to compete for my father's love, and I always felt like he loved them more than he loved. Like, he used to tell me this, you know. Like, he used to say all the time, you're unworthy, you're not as good looking as your sisters, you're not this like your sisters, you know. You're never going to be anything, no one's ever going to love you. He was a rabbi, and there was a lot of pressure, you know.
La, 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 pot, give me some pot. Forget what you are, you can be what you're not. Tough, the world is so tough. When it gets harder, you can try all the stuff.
I never felt much like I was much of anything in my whole life. I was looking for love somewhere, and I wasn't getting it anywhere. But I was never happy. I always felt on the outside. Actually, as much as I would like to deny the fact that pot was the beginning of my usage of drugs, I mean, it's there as a fact. It was the beginning of my using of drugs. It was the first thing I touched. in the drug field. I was told it was innocent by everybody that surrounded me, people that I looked up to as intellectuals and smart people. And they told me there was nothing wrong with pot. You would never graduate to anything else. Now I can walk up the street here about a block and see these same people, as intellectual as I thought they were, using heroin. I can't see myself ever using it again.
La la la, pot, pot, give me some pot. Forget what you are, you can be what you're not. Hip, hip, you wanna be hip. You know it all if you don't take a trip. Pot, pot, give me some pot.
I was 17 when I saw the bus to me.
Left a note at when. I said, wow, what is that? And it blew my mind. And I liked it. But then, you know, he threw up the other nostril. And up the nostril it went, and bam, my head blew.
We used to say, ride the pink horse down Nightmare Alley.
The immortal 1967 album Surrealistic Pillow. That was the Jefferson Airplane. Yeah. We are back. I'm a little calmer than I was the last time you heard from us. And I
see sedatives work.
Yeah. Well, you know, give me drugs.
Nice. Anyway. Nice. Throwback to Vinnie Barbarino. Nice.
Anyway. No way on God's green earth were we going to do this song and not play White Rabbit.
And that's the thing. I knew it. So I love that song. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, that...
It's an amazing, amazing song.
When I think about all of the counterculture that came about in the 60s, the sound of that intro on that song alone is enough.
And see... I think it's super interesting that, like, again, great example of how we can look at one song, both agree it's great, and have completely different wives, different reasons why. I think it's one of the greatest vocal performances in history.
Oh, Grace Slick is amazing on that. I mean, the way her voice rises and falls.
Yeah, well, the build on that thing, and she's, I mean, she, Grace Slick had one of the most powerful voices.
She did.
Ever in rock and roll. And she just, I mean, that thing is a slow burn.
Yeah.
And my only issue with that song is it's not long enough.
I think it fits the space that it needs to.
Oh, sure it does. But I know this is why
they have a repeat button,
when Grace Slick gets to that point, though, I want five more minutes of that.
I can, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And God knows that Jefferson Airplane was totally capable of doing another 5 minutes.
Yeah, probably live it happened more than a couple times.
Well, probably went for another half an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surrealistic Pillow, that's such a great record, too. And I mean, that is very evocative of the year that it came out. At least, I was born in that year, so I never experienced it.
You are a product of the Summer of Love.
That's right. Yes, I was born in the middle of the Summer of Love.
You were indeed.
Yes. Or I was born, dropped off on this planet, whatever you want.
You were deposited here.
Yeah, I was deposited here like E.T. That's it.
And not only were you born in the Summer of Love, you were born in California.
In Southern California.
During the Summer of Love. But the Summer of Love was really happening in Northern California.
Oh, yeah, San Francisco, San Diego. Yeah, oh, well.
Anyway.
I didn't get my coordinates quite right.
I just think California. You were born in California in the Summer of Love.
Yeah. So
feed your head.
Well, you know, and unfortunately, that leads you to making a lot of mistakes in life, like that Neil Diamond song. That's where I'm going to pass it off, and then we're done. We're done talking about that.
Time now for the weekly list Haiku Corner, brought to you by Imminent Brewing, a truly poetic brewery. Here is your host, Haiku Rich.
Hey, Rich, you know, I know that you're the host of Haiku Corner and everything, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, anyhow, I was kind of dissing a little bit in the past and kind of poking fun at you with this whole haiku stuff, and I figured, well, how hard could it be to write one of these things, right? You know, I'm like, okay, it's like five.
It's really not hard at all.
Well, anyhow, I had a friend of mine challenge me, who's one of the people who listens to the show, and it's nice that we've got so many friends that are actually listening to this.
Indeed.
So, you know.
Indeed. I can't wait for people who aren't our friends to listen to the show.
Well, I now have a lot of people who were my friend who are not
there are a lot of people who are thinking, God, you know, Rich makes me feel really uncomfortable.
So I was challenged to use two particular words and make a haiku. And I also wanted to send a message because, you know, there's a lot of things that drugs, people get lost into it and stuff like that. So anyhow, I wrote a haiku.
Okay.
And I wanted to just see how hard it was. And there's things that I've learned. Okay, so here's my haiku.
Okay.
Ready for this?
Yep.
Life seems so very bleak. Answers appear so oblique. You are not alone.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. And that's
it's harder to do this than you think.
It's not so hard, actually. But, I mean, that's a lot better than Just Say No.
Okay, good. Thank you.
That's a lot better than Just Say No.
Well, thank you. That was my stab.
But that bar's awfully low.
What?
That bar's awfully low, though. Well, but that's a lot better than Just Say No.
Right. You know?
Right.
And sometimes I trip over stuff like that. But, you know, okay. Anyhow, I'm not going to ever do a haiku on this show again because,
You're always welcome. You're always welcome. You're the English major.
Well, yeah, but you're haiku rich. So you can
contribute to Haiku Corner anytime you want.
Well, thank you for letting me kind of hop in there.
Speaking of the bars low, I've got
okay.
I've got 1, 2, 3. I got 6 of them.
Today. Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
Lay them on me.
Yeah, some of these are not.
Well, don't sell yourself short. Just lay it out.
It's good for so much, like depression and the pain. So legalize it.
Ooh, good. I think that's great.
You say just say no, like that's a thing you can do. You clearly don't care.
Ooh, yeah, you're right.
I had a friend one time tell me that a line of cocaine is like a cup of coffee.
Well, they remember when they sold Vivarin when we were... I knew people that used to crush up Vivarin and like snort it.
Yeah, okay.
So go ahead.
A cup of coffee. You can keep the powder. I'll keep my soul, please.
Hmm.
Mm, yeah. I love this feeling. I want to always feel this until I can't feel.
My face. Sorry, I didn't.
This is my favorite one.
Okay. You know, it's good when Rich loses it beforehand.
All right. tax it like crazy. And if you legalize it, Danny makes millions.
You know, that makes me sound like I'm a drug lord or something, you know, or, well.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. Best for that.
Wait a minute here. No Marley, no Grateful Dead. You guys are straight frauds.
You know, folks, I almost went with Three Little Birds just to throw it out there.
Yeah,
I
well,
mean, it's not about drugs, but, you know.
I would have happily played Three Little Birds instead of, you know.
Yeah, well, that which will shall not be named that, again.
Yeah, exactly. The Voldemort of
the show.
of the weekly list. Anyway, we want to thank Lauren Derek Myers for making the weekly list possible every week by sponsoring the show. Oh, wait, hang on. I forgot something.
What?
My, what a delight. This has been Haiku Corner. Thank you, Eminent.
That was what I forgot there. Okay, we're back. I want to thank Laura and Derek Myers for sponsoring the weekly list and for making the weekly list possible every week. They are, of course, the owners of Eminent Brewing, the sponsor of the show.
I'm just glad that I didn't forget the end bumper this time.
Well, you did, but I forgot it too, and right, that supersedes you forgetting it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm only human after all.
Well.
More or less.
You're not even human. Like, you're just.
Yeah. Not, okay.
You're an alien.
Continue on.
Anyway, we always start these shows by talking about the COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. And COVID thing has been really up and down. And yeah. It's kind of, actually, there's been some situations not at Eminent, but sort of around Eminent. And so we're back to sort of being a little more careful. So we're all, including me, we're all wearing masks again behind
good,
the bar.
Good. That's good. And, I mean, I know that you've gotten the booster,
yep.
But still, I yep. mean, for everyone.
And so we're taking the precautions and we're going to keep taking the precautions. And you know, if that's not your thing, then sorry, but
get it to go.
Yeah, exactly. We've got growlers to go. But if you want to come and hang out, we want you to come and hang out. We just want everyone to do it safely yeah. and responsibly. Anyway.
So, you know, I'm going to be really curious as to what growlers you're going to be talking or what's on tap this week.
No, actually.
Did you bring anything for me?
I forgot.
Oh,
I,
man,
it's not even
know.
That I forgot. I just, I literally, I was really sick this week.
Oh, yeah.
And like, it screwed up my whole schedule. So, I mean, it's an excuse. And I do apologize. And God, after the after the way I just treated you 20 minutes ago.
Well, I thought with the War on Drugs show and... You know, all of this kind of stuff. I was thinking that you'd be like, oh, you know,
yeah,
here's something for you.
Or maybe you're
just telling me to just not say, just say no, Danny.
I really owe you a beer. Anyway, if you're not vaccinated, wear a mask. If you are vaccinated, maybe probably a good idea to wear a mask, you know, mm-hmm. and that's how it goes. And I, you know what, we're going to be talking about this for 9 more months. I truly believe that.
I think that we are. I absolutely think that we are.
Last week, I was feeling optimistic that this thing might be on the downside, and I don't think we are anymore.
No.
Anyway, there's live music this week.
Oh, really?
Who's playing? Wait a minute. The Zillionaires. Thank God the Zillionaires are back. There are four or five bands that we like to think of as our house bands.
Yeah.
And the Zillionaires is one of them. And they're the final band to sort of make their triumphant return. And we're just
good.
So happy. Wendy Smith and Dave Drentlaw, your old pal. You remember Mike Legwold from?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mike Legwold plays bass in the Zillionaires. And they're wonderful. Mike does a great Jayhawk song. God of the rich man and God of the poor. I don't remember.
Anyhow, when you see him this weekend, tell him hi.
I will. I absolutely yeah. will. Boy, that was really compelling radio, wasn't it? but, you know, Wendy Smith is, I think, in my opinion, all due respect to everyone else listening, Wendy Smith, I think, is probably the best front person in Northfield. Wow. I mean, she fronts a band. She fronts a band as well as anyone I know in this town. She's great, and in fact, I like to think of her as the Chrissy Hynde of the Northfield music scene. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Dragon Squirrel Juicy IPA. Mm-hmm. Cannon River Pale Ale. Prairie Creek Porter. Quick in the Red IPA. Question Mark Hill Wheat. Oktoberfest, which is I still think is the best thing on tap. The Double Agent J Double IPA. And now, drum roll, please. La Tropical Sour Ale.
Oh.
Which is a Key Lime Guava Sour.
Key Lime Guava Sour?
Key Lime Guava.
How do you think of that kind of stuff?
I don't.
Well, I know that. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty genius.
I've had it, too. It's pretty good.
I have had none of those. And why would that be, Rich?
Because I keep forgetting. Food trucks this week. That's it. One. There's a food truck actually right now as you're listening to the show, but that doesn't help you. Tomorrow night, Deep Roots Concessions is going to be there. They're kind of a Northwoods kind of a thing. They've got great sausages and pasties and things like that. Wow, I just yawned on the air right in the middle. I am boring myself.
You're boring yourself to death. This is such a weird show tonight.
It's such a weird show.
I swear to God, one thing that we should have said at the very beginning is that we're not on drugs currently right now, nor are we drinking. I've got a Coke Zero Sugar. That's it.
We're not on drugs right now, but we will be.
It could very well be by the end of this.
Imminent Brewing is open 4 to 9 on Thursdays and Fridays. 4 to 9 on Thursdays, 4 to 9 on Fridays. 2 to 9 on Saturdays, 2 to 7 on Sundays. And as Laura always tells the staff, take good care of yourself and each other.
Perfect, perfect.
All right. What's
I
next?
Really love them. The next song that we're going to play is by Elliott Smith from his self-titled album.
I had not heard this song
You
before,
had not?
And I, this thing is amazing. This is a great song.
Okay, so have I?
No.
Okay, so I've not possibly atoned, but I did pick a really good
one. Oh, God, this song is so good.
Now, Elliott Smith is one of these guys that I adore. He's a great singer-songwriter. The best, closest to fame that he ever got is he had a song called Miss Misery that was on the Good Will Hunting soundtrack, and he was actually nominated for an Oscar on this. Of course, he didn't win. He gave probably the most awkward performance of a song at an Oscar ceremony.
But that was the first time I heard that song,
really?
And I loved it.
He is brilliant.
Actually, it's not the first time I heard it because I'd seen the movie first.
Right.
But it didn't, yeah.
The thing about Elliott Smith, he's got a very dedicated fan base that are very passionate about him. I love the guy. He had an album called Either Or that is incredible. It's also very sad. He's had a lot of problems with alcohol and with drugs, including heroin. And he was, the thing that I appreciated about his songwriting is very confessional. He was very honest. He didn't pull punches.
Yeah.
He was incredibly honest. And it fills me with tremendous sadness. The day that he died, he killed himself by stabbing himself in the chest with a butcher's knife in his kitchen. And that has haunted me.
Yeah.
And I've had my own issues thinking about ending oneself.
Yeah.
I had issues with that over a year ago when I went through a divorce. And it does get better. But Elliott Smith is a very haunted person, and this song is called Needle in the Hay, and it's about as honest a bit of songwriting as I think anybody will ever do.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's as honest as you can get.
Yeah.
This is Elliott Smith with Needle in the Hay on 95.1 KMN.
charm around your neck, strung out and thin, calling some friend, trying to cash some check. He's acting dumb, that's what you've come to expect. Needle in the hay, needle in the hay, needle in the hay, needle in the hay. He's wearing your clothes, head down to toes, a reaction to you. You say you know what he did, but you idiot kid, you don't have a clue. Sometimes they just get caught in the eye, you're pulling him through. Needle in the hay, needle in the hay, needle in the hay, needle in the hay.
Hey, feeling the hay. head to. I'm queen of the clouds, make my wish come true. I sing to the night, let me sing to you.
Clouds album, that was Tove Lo with a song called Not on Drugs. You had mentioned
that wasn't Halsey.
No, that was Rich. I know that you don't listen to much current music, so this is what my role is. So I brought Tove
Lo
to the table.
That's true. That's true.
I love Tove Lo. You're
here for the kids.
She is also the saddest girl in all of Sweden, so she's a little
Is saying something.
That is saying something. I mean, This song, I mean, she had another song that I almost thought about playing called Habits, Stay High, but, you know,
okay,
that was her first hit. I have always liked the song Not on Drugs, and right. it's basically a love song. It's saying,
yeah, that's,
you know,
not really a song about drugs, is it?
No, it's really not, but yeah. Love can be kind of drug-like,
yeah,
in terms of altered consciousness.
But that's, you know, no one ever declared war on love. At least.
I'm gonna. There's a whole lot of marriage equality things
I suppose. No, I was gonna say, you know, I'm sure that Bill O'Reilly would somehow find a way to accuse me of declaring war on love. But
anyway. I love Tove Lo. Yeah. I wanted to throw her in, just, you know, because, hey man, that's just me.
I know. So moving on, there are two bands that I have. Over the last year or so, I thought, God, we have to get more of these two bands onto the show. One is the Velvet Underground,
mm-hmm.
but you're not always in the mood for the Velvet Underground.
I have to be in the right spot for that.
Yeah, well, anyway, I would like to have more Velvet Underground on the show. The other one is U2. Like, U2 is horrific. And now, there are a lot of people out there rolling their eyes right now because a lot of people don't like U2.
Right.
Right. I really do like U2.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like U2.
Well, thank you. U2 is really underrepresented on the weekly
list.
I have not played them much at all.
I don't know that we've ever played a U2 song as I've been co-hosting with you.
I can't recall. Like,
I don't think that we ever have.
I played Bad, which is the reason Bad is not the song we're going to hear right now.
Yeah.
I played Bad on a show, I don't remember when. And like, I don't remember what else I would have played. So yeah. Anyway, so New Year's resolution for 2022 is to get more U2 on the show.
There it is.
Like it or not, folks, there it is. So this song, this story actually relates to Bad, but, Bono actually, introduced a song one time by saying, I had a friend who was 18 years old, and for his 18th birthday, he and a couple of my friends celebrated his 18th birthday by buying enough heroin to put into his veins to kill him.
Awesome.
And, yeah. And Bono has talked, not extensively, but talked a lot about how heroin is something that really he feels like is ripping Dublin apart.
It is. Yeah. I've been to Dublin.
Yep.
And I got that front forward. I saw it. There's a lot of spots. If you hang out around places in Dublin at night, I was really taken aback by that. And the song that we're going to play is Running to Stand Still from their 1987 Joshua Tree album. And I guess the thing that I relate to in this song, and this is one that you picked, so thank you very much for picking this, that it's about the hopelessness and how sometimes you need to tranquilize yourself in order to exist in overwhelming depression and overwhelming unemployment that was certainly there and is there now. And I think about, I had mentioned my own history. I was going to talk about my own history with drugs and abuse. I have not been somebody who's ever done illicit drugs. So, I mean, I'm not a marijuana or cocaine or anything like that. But I have been known to drink. And there was a period in about the 3 years before I got divorced where I drank a lot. Mm-hmm. And my piece of cake or my source was a very, very cheap scotch called Old Smuggler. And I used to drink regularly, like every single night.
Yep.
And when I started thinking about that, I went through therapy, and I strongly suggest that everybody try therapy at some point. You know, I mean, it's life-changing. And one of the things that I struggled with and had conversations with is, am I an alcoholic?
Right.
And I determined that, no, I don't believe that I'm an alcoholic. I do believe that I have a tendency to abuse it. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about, well, why is it that, why did I drink so much? And I realized that I was in a lot of incredible loneliness, and I was very depressed and despondent. And so alcohol was what numbed me in order to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And alcohol needed to be my choice because I needed a numbing agent.
Yeah.
And the problem that I have with a lot of the illicit drugs and things like that is I almost feel like I'm turning the keys to my brain over to somebody, because I understand what you're saying, that you spent an hour looking at a panda bear and just looking at it. In my mind, for me, that's, for me at least, that would be a loss of control and turning over the keys. And I'm scared to death of turning control of my brain over.
I completely respect that too.
Yeah, I'd rather just numb it. Yeah. I'd just rather dumb it down into just stupid.
And that's my problem when I have too much to drink.
Yeah.
Is that I become everybody's best friend.
Yeah.
And I behave inappropriately. Because I love you so much.
Well, and just, I get that. And a lot of times I'm definitely, oh, I love you too.
Yeah.
But my problem when I drink is if I'm in a sad mood, it just goes deep down into the sadness.
Right, right.
And so as a result, one of the things that I know that I cannot do anymore is I don't drink scotch. And I certainly don't drink that. Well, I don't drink the cheap stuff.
I didn't realize that. Oh, okay, you're right, because I've seen you have a...
Because that stuff is horrible, because that is... Old Smuggler is... The reason it's cheap is it's incredibly powerful. And so I appreciate scotch for the taste, the history, and the flavor. And I've got some pretty good taste buds on it. But the thing that I try to do, and I've got the rule now that if I'm going to have scotch, it's going to be in public, it's going to be at a restaurant, and it's going to be one dram, and one dram only.
Right.
So that's what I do.
Right.
So
we got to keep this show moving. But so thank you for talking about that.
That was my alcohol abuse story. This song is by U2, Running to Stand Still. It's about numbing yourself. And so that's why I told the story, and that's what U2 tells in this story.
95.1 KYMN, the Uxie.
And so she woke up from where she was, lying still, said, I gotta do something about where I
You know what's always bugged me about rock concerts?
What has always bugged you about rock concerts?
They're like anytime anyone sings something about like misbehaving, everyone cheers so much.
You
know, the Captain Jack, you just sit at home and masturbate. Woo, yay, woo, that's so good.
You know, one of the funniest things that I ever saw was a number of years ago, the 1975, were playing at the Mall of America. They were doing an acoustic show. This was the first time I realized that they had a teenage girl fan club.
Yeah.
Because I saw them at First Avenue, and there's a bunch of rock guys, and I get to this thing, and there's nothing but teenage girls all around, and there's four or five of us that all look the same, that we're all about the same age,
yeah.
And we're wearing like our jeans jackets and stuff, and we looked at each other and had this, what the hell happened?
Is there a point to this story?
Well, yes. So anyhow, they were playing a song called Sex.
Okay.
And in the middle of it, he drops the F-bomb.
Okay.
And so all of these teenage girls went and squealed,
yeah.
And Matty Healy all of a sudden rolled his eyes.
Right.
And
exactly.
I just kind of, and I
this
went.
This is my point. Like, you know,
I went,
you know,
perfect.
I, you listen to a song and everyone, you know, let's all go get stoned. Why? Everyone loses their mind.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
whatever.
Ridiculous.
I mean,
don't be that person.
Don't be that person. I mean,
okay.
Come on.
Okay. Well, good. Anyway. We agree on this.
Well, okay.
Well, absolutely.
That was Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get into 2021 Eric Clapton at all.
Thank you.
That was 1980 Eric Clapton, right. Who was one of my all time faves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually 1970 Eric Clapton, I think, is my like second greatest all time fave. But like,
I was in a band that used to play that song.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. This does not surprise me.
Yeah.
At all.
It's a good song. It's a fun song.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
yeah.
I mean it's a harrowing topic.
It was a song called Cocaine. It was written by J.J. Cale.
Mm-hmm.
Clapton recorded it for his 1977 album Slow Hand, which is a beautiful,
yep.
Fabulous album. That's all. That version from Just One Night has always been my favorite version.
Oh, okay.
of the song. So
good.
Albert Lee is the other guitar player.
Okay,
I mean, the way they work together, it's just great. Anyway, yeah. So folks, that's going to just about do it for this here edition of the Weekly List. We are overtime.
Because, what a long, strange trip it has been.
Ooh, I'm exhausted from this show, yeah. Man. Anyway, if you like the show, you can stream it. KYMN website. You can podcast it by looking for the KYMN radio podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Facebook. But now,
yes. You've been industrious this week.
The Weekly List has a Twitter account.
Okay.
And an Instagram account. Yep. We are at The Weekly List, all one word, all lowercase, at The Weekly List on Twitter. And we are on Instagram, on the gram. We are the_weekly_list on Instagram. So there it is. That's it. We have taken tiny steps into the deeper
modernized
world of social media.
And you know what I just did? I took a picture that I'm going to stick on that Instagram account of you explaining that we're on Instagram.
Well, that's really just meta.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
All right.
Man,
yeah, okay.
I'm so wasted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, also, you should go and find the KYMN Facebook page and like that. You should also go find the KYMN Twitter page,
yep.
Twitter account, which is 95.1 The One.
Mm-hmm.
You should also go and find the Imminent Brewing Facebook page.
Yes.
Go and find the Imminent Brewing Twitter page. I think Imminent's also got an Instagram account. We're going to keep looking into all these social media things because
yeah.
You know, last week we promised a TikTok and this week, is it Twitcher? What's it called?
Is it the Twitcher?
The Twitcher?
We've
we're going to be on the Twitcher.
Yeah. You know, somebody actually said that one day, and this would be really dangerous, is that we should have a Facebook Live going when we're recording this. That would be so dangerous.
That's the thing that we've talked about this before.
Oh.
I want you to think, wrap your head around video, because it's coming someday.
That's a frightening thing. Cause
it is. It
man.
Is. It is. I don't want to. It's one thing. It's bad enough to have to listen to myself melt down, but I actually have to watch it. I don't want it. Anyway.
All right. So what are we going to be taken out with? And we've got next week. We're going to be a lot more.
Next week's going to be a fun show.
Yeah.
Do you even know what the topic is next week?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Good.
Yes, I do.
Good.
And
I'm
I've already got my playlist half built.
Fantastic.
I'm on top of it.
Next week's a show that we've been trying to put together for
months.
Like before you joined, I had this idea to do this show at least a year and a half ago. So I'm excited about this. This is, I think, probably the most poignant song I've ever heard about addiction.
Mm-hmm.
The tragedy of this song is it actually predicted and correctly predicted the demise of the person it's about. Neil Young wrote the song for a guy named Danny Whitten, who was the original guitar player in Crazy Horse.
Yeah.
And is on the first couple of Neil Young and Crazy Horse albums. And Danny Whitten was a junkie.
Yeah.
And Neil saw this coming, man. And he wrote this song for Danny Whitten, hoping that maybe it might be a way to deliver the message.
Yeah.
And Danny Whitten died a couple of years after this. It was a couple of years after this, yeah, of a heroin overdose. And this is, I don't know. This is an amazing, amazing song.
Well, Neil Young has a real gift for taking what would seem like he has no problem getting to the hard truths in his work.
Oh, he does not.
I mean, whether it's Ohio or even stuff like Rockin' in the Free
right.
World. I mean, there's some elemental truth there. That's one thing that I've always appreciated about Neil Young's ability as a songwriter.
Yep.
And this song, and it, of course we're talking about The Needle and the Damage Done, is him tearing off all the Band-Aids and is getting as honest. And then I think that this is one of the things that Elliot Smith
yeah.
got from Neil Young.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a confessional type of songwriting that is stirring.
Yeah, it is. It is. Sort of on a side note, I get real, I mean, I talk about my Mount Rushmore all the time.
Uh-huh.
Neil is on my Mount Rushmore. I get real defensive. I'm not defensive, but I get dismissive of people who say, well, I don't listen to Neil Young. I don't like Neil Young because of his voice. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, give me a break. But there is no song out there that is more suited to Neil's voice than this song.
Right.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
So listen to the whole take of it.
Yeah.
Not just the lyrics, not just the sound of the track, but the way that his voice interacts.
Oh, the whole thing. The
yeah.
whole thing. And he's singing, this is Neil singing to his friend, asking him to not die.
Right.
Folks.
I love you, Rich.
Yeah. Danny, I love you too, man. Please don't die.
Please don't die.
Yeah. All right. And all of you, this was a pretty real show tonight. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.
You're knocking at my cellar door. I love you, baby. Can I have some more? Ooh, the damage done. I hit the city and I lost my band. I watched the needle take another man. Gone. Song because I love the man. I know that some of you don't understand. Milk blood to keep from running out. I've seen the need.